Last night, I was about to feast on the WWE Championship. But CM Punk employed three of his men to take food out of a starving man's mouth. Well, my hunger cannot be suppressed. I am a predator, and CM Punk, you and your three men are my prey. So what you can do to make things easier on yourself, all of you, is to come down here and face me right now. And if you don't, I'm gonna tear this damn place apart.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, they're going on the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it and you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Thursday, November 22nd, 2012. The best in wrestling talk radio back on the air. This is Smack Talk Radio Live. My name is Corey. Still trying to convince his co-host to go to WrestleMania, Callahan. Joined alongside James. Wishes he was American so he could stuff his face full of turkey. McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I am fine and divine like an aged red wine tonight, buddy. And as always, excited to be sitting here in the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, breaking down the week that was in professional wrestling with you.
Happy Thanksgiving to our American friends.
Absolutely.
Thanksgiving today really doesn't exist in Canada, but we had it not too long ago.
Yeah, it was, what, about a month ago, I guess?
I know, isn't that weird how that works?
I know. How is it possible that Thanksgiving is in October here in Canada, yet in November down in the States? I don't know. I never
You
never
think
really
we would? You think
that.
By now we would have matched the two holidays up. Regardless, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and if you're not on Twitter, Jesus, at SRL Radio.
Who isn't on Twitter nowadays?
My dad, that's who's not. Or my mom, thank God. Huge week for Smack Talk Radio Live. Last week, James, we had the Intercontinental Champion Kofi Kingston on, and my God, our numbers went through the roof this past week.
Huge show, and if you guys haven't listened to it already, I recommend going back and downloading it. It's a great episode.
Get this, in the last 7 days, we had 27,000 people visit our website.
That's astronomical, my friend.
No kidding. And of course, we have to remind you that the iPhone app for Smack Talk Radio Live is in development.
Coming down the pipe, keep your eyes and ears to the ground.
What would be the number one thing you want to see on the Smack Talk Radio Live iPhone app, James?
Me, probably just the ability to listen to our show live through your iPhone. Plus a nice little picture of maybe you and me wouldn't be too bad.
Oh, is that what you want?
Well, then it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
Huge show tonight, though, James, as well. We're going to be joined by pro wrestler, commentator, MMA fighter, actor, stuntman. I mean, really, there's nothing this guy hasn't done. He's a local Vancouverite. His name is Paul Lazenby. He's going to talk WWE, something Vancouverites don't really get to hear from Paul too often because, as you know, James, Paul. He's on C-Fox 99.3 The Fox quite often, giving the MMA report. And he talks a lot of MMA, but we don't really hear him talk a lot about professional wrestling.
No, so it should be an interesting little dynamic tonight.
Absolutely. But hey, I don't want to waste any more time. We got lots to chat about tonight. Why don't we do what we do every week? Let's kick off the show with the post-to-post reports.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, we're going to start the post-to-post report this week off with news that doesn't really apply to you unless you live in Canada. The Canadian broadcaster of WWE programming, known as the Score Network, they've announced that they are moving the time slot for the WWE flagship show Monday Night Raw. With the announcement of Raw moving from 2 to 3 hours, a lot of people have become upset at how late they have to stay awake to watch.
Yes.
Especially if you're living on the East Coast. We're lucky here on the West Coast, but if you're living in Toronto or farther east, my God.
Jeez, I can't imagine that.
Well, the Score, they've listened, and instead of airing Monday Night Raw starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, they're going to begin airing it at 8:15 p.m. Eastern, 5:15 Pacific. This new time slot change will come into effect December 10th, and this is great news for fans across the country. For those who don't know, currently Monday Night Raw, it's on a 1 hour delay, meaning if you're checking Facebook or Twitter while watching Raw, like the WWE wants you to, you're possibly ruining a surprise you're about to watch, plus you throw in the lateness factor, and it's just a bad recipe for watching Raw all around. December 10th though, like I said, that's all gonna change, as Raw will begin airing 45 minutes earlier, putting it only at a 15 minute delay, and at this point, it's as good as it gets. I spoke with Art O'Cal from The Score earlier today, and he said, like most WWE fans in Canada, he's delighted by this move, and credit goes to Greg Sansone. Contrary to what you may think, they do read the comments at The Score that come in, but sometimes it's just not as easy as one would like to make changes. Arda is glad that this one's been well received, and Arda, on behalf of Canada, so are we. Thank you.
I'm very, very happy that they've made this move. It's going to make life a lot easier, I know, for both you and me. And plus, yeah, you know, I get what you say about the whole not being able to follow along on Facebook and Twitter like they want you to. For me, a big example was when Jerry Lawler had his heart attack. I knew about it an hour before it happened, and it was just like, it was one of those things that you knew was going to happen, and you're kind of dreading it, you know?
And what I find funny is here you have the WWE constantly pushing, vote on Twitter, who do you want to see, what's the new tag team name
exactly.
For Kane and Daniel Bryan? Well, I'm sorry, we don't even have that option to vote because we're on a delay. Now, a lot of people wonder why even the 15-minute delay, and it comes down to the Score having licensing agreements with the CRTC about how much live programming they can air all the time. And they figure if they put it on a 15-minute delay, Monday Night Raw is not considered live, and they can use that live coverage for other sporting events throughout the year.
The only downside? Where am I going to get my horse racing news? What happens to Bet Night Live?
Interesting.
Now, we told you last week on the show that two NXT developmental wrestlers have been released recently, that being Chad Baxter and Louis Fontaine. Well, it appears you can now chalk that number up to 5, as 3 more names have been removed from the NXT website. Lincoln Broderick, his real name is Marcus Anthony, Chase Donovan, and Corey, get this, local Vancouverite Nick Rogers, who many will remember here as the mayor, Austin Spencer.
That's a bit disappointing for the local crowd here. He was a top prospect leaving Vancouver, heading to NXT. I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed
by
this.
Me too, I was rooting for him to kind of make it up to the big show.
Could the return to ECCW be imminent, I should say. Imminent or imminent, whatever, it doesn't
interesting
matter.
Interesting to see.
WWE and Fremantle Media Enterprises, they announced a major new distribution agreement on Monday. Now, Fremantle Media, which is one of the leading creators and producers of television entertainment brands around the world, well, they're going to manage the DVD, Blu-ray, and digital rights for all new and existing WWE content in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. And they put that together as an acronym known as EMEA. This would make it the first time that fans of WWE can access programming digitally in those countries. Pete Kalan, Senior VP of Fremantle's Home, Entertainment, and Archive EMEA Department. Try fitting that on a business card.
Wow.
Well, he commented saying that we look forward to working with the WWE to grow all aspects of their home entertainment catalog and are particularly excited about introducing the content to the masses across EMEA, via digital platforms.
Well, I'm glad that they're making it easier now for them to access their product in other parts of the world. It can only mean good things.
Basically, we should have just said that. They're making it easier for people in other countries or other continents to watch the product.
I didn't mean to cut down your news story there.
It's true.
Well, Chris Jericho is returning to television, but perhaps not in the way you want him to, though. It was announced on Tuesday that Jericho will be hosting a television show called Robot Combat League, and will premiere on the Sci-Fi Channel beginning February 26th of next year. Now, the league will have 12 teams, each consisting of a fighter, dubbed the Robo-Jockey, and a robotics engineer, dubbed the Robotech. Now, the fighters and the techs, they're all from different backgrounds, which includes an Olympic athlete, a National Guard helicopter pilot, and a race car driver, among others. Now, fights will consist of 3 rounds, with the winning team advancing to the next round and the ultimate prize being $100,000. Jericho will set up each fight, and he'll provide the play-by-play commentary.
I believe we saw something like this before when Mick Foley hosted, I think it was called Robot Wars.
Yes.
You remember that show?
Yes, I remember it now.
It seems very similar, but I think they're just going to do it on a larger scale, and, you know, technology's progressed, so... it should be interesting.
If they do it properly, it should be quite an interesting watch.
But you know what I was thinking? This would be an excellent show to fill content on the WWE Network that
Absolutely.
They have planned.
Absolutely.
You know, it's away from wrestling.
That's a great idea.
You're still including wrestlers. You know, you have a host that is a former wrestler, or a current wrestler, I should say. And it's just a different type of programming. To me, this would be something that I'd like to see on WWE Network, but it's going to happen on Sci-Fi instead.
Are you listening, Vince?
You know he's listening. Now, it was reported that WWE diva Caitlyn was arrested at the SmackDown tapings Tuesday night in Grand Rapids, Michigan. TMZ said the police appeared at the Van Andel Arena, which was the site of the SmackDown taping, with a warrant and took her into custody due to an outstanding speeding ticket.
Wow.
Lock her away for good.
Wow.
She was booked and released on $315 bond. Caitlin released a statement saying during a previous visit to Michigan, she was cited for a traffic violation and she's fully cooperating with authorities to resolve the matter.
Bad girl, slap on the wrist.
I cannot believe you have cops show up to an arena and embarrass an employee.
Over a speeding ticket?
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this whole thing.
That's a bit much in my eyes.
I think so. Now, WWE released its monthly business figures on Wednesday, and within those numbers, made public was the buy rate for October's WWE Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. Now, Hell in a Cell 2012, which was of course headlined by CM Punk versus Ryback in a Hell in a Cell, that drew approximately 200,000 pay-per-view buys, 76% of those being domestic and 24% being international. Now, this year's show did have a 5-week build-up following the Night of Champions pay-per-view in September, and it fell between the prior 2 years, with 2010 doing 210,000 buys and 2011 doing 190,000 buys.
Just middle of the road.
That's pretty much what Hell in a Cell was.
There you go. Leave it at that. Now, in terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price, it closed at $7.84 a share. That's up 25 cents from this time last week. Still below that $8 mark, though. Only time will tell, I suppose.
I'm waiting for it to hit $6 and then I'm going to buy up some.
Might be a good call. In terms of television ratings this week, WWE Monday Night Raw on November 19th, the night after the Survivor Series pay-per-view, remember, it scored a 2.72 rating. Ugh.
Wow.
Down 5% from the 2.87 rating last week heading into the pay-per-view. It was Monday Night Raw's lowest rating since a 2.49 on October 22nd, which was the lead-in to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. In terms of viewership, Raw averaged 3.84 million viewers, which was down 8.5% from last week, and continued its second to third hour drop in viewership for the 14th consecutive week. Raw's first hour, it averaged 3.87 million, 3.92 million in the second hour, and then as usual, dropping to 3.71 million in the third. Not even fresh new faces on Monday Night Raw can keep you awake until the end, it seems.
It's tough, man.
Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business. This is the Post to Post Report. How do you feel, James?
I feel great, buddy. I always feel great. Come on.
That's not typically what you say.
Even though I'm not going to WrestleMania, I still feel great.
Oh, I have a feeling you're coming. Somehow, you're coming. And if you don't, well, it's not going to be the same without you. All right, let's not waste any more time. We got lots of chat about Survivor Series, Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
We like to do that in a segment we call Tail the Tape.
it's time for the Tale of the Tape.
All right, James, lots to chat about this
week. Absolutely.
We had Survivor Series come and go, one of the big four pay-per-views, so they claim. What do you think?
You know what? As much as I was ragging on it on last week's episode, I gotta say I was a lot more entertained than I really thought I was going to be. Personally, I thought the match of the night was that opening match where they had the four tag teams and the two idle big men. I mean, what a showcase of talent, especially Tyson Kidd. Like, what a performer that guy is.
And this was the impromptu match that they just kind of surprised the crowd with.
Threw it together, and it was, you know what, it was fantastic.
But that's the problem I have with Survivor Series. The card heading into the show wasn't that great.
No, on paper it wasn't very good.
And then they just throw these matches out of nowhere, out of left field, and you're supposed to buy into it, and that's the problem I had with Survivor Series. The matches that delivered were not the matches that were advertised.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with you there.
All right, well, you like that match. What about the main event? John Cena, CM Punk, Ryback. Your thoughts?
It was a decent match. I did like the ending. I did like the surprise ending with the... Well, we'll talk about it in a little bit here.
Well, no, let's talk about it quickly right now. What did you like about Survivor Series? Like, the main event there. What you like? You say you enjoyed it. I'm going the opposite direction.
Really? You didn't like it? No, I like that we're finally seeing some new, young, fresh talent being injected into the show here and into the main event scene. I don't know.
I'm going to say this. This is exactly what I said the night after Hell in a Cell. I hate these finishes that just come out of left field and you're supposed to buy into it. Look at Hell in a Cell, for example. You have Brad Maddox come. He low blows Ryback. And that's the finish of the pay-per-view. Fine, I get it. I actually really like Brad Maddox after that, but I didn't like how they used the main event of a pay-per-view to introduce Brad Maddox. Same thing applies here. It just comes out of left field, and I hate to use the example as well. Kevin Nash at SummerSlam a couple years back.
But you know what?
It just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know, but you have to kind of do that to keep the title on CM Punk and to not make Ryback look weak. So they've kind of, you know... They're in between a rock and a hard place, so that's kind of why you're seeing these surprise swerve endings.
Here's my problem with the main event of Survivor Series as well. That match needed to have a clear winner because, to me, the significance of the main event of Survivor Series was we were going to find out who The Rock would be facing at the Royal Rumble. You can't have that without a clear winner. Now you have this, you know, this botched finish, I guess you could say, and it's still up for debate as to who The Rock will be fighting at or wrestling at the Royal Rumble.
No, I think it's pretty much set in stone that it's going to be Punk and Rock.
Well, no, that could change tomorrow. To me, the whole attraction to that main event was the fact that you had The Rock earlier in the day on Twitter he posts a picture of him versus Cena, him versus Ryback, him versus CM Punk.
Yeah.
And to me, I was like, okay, we're going to find out tonight just what direction the WWE is going and who The Rock's going to face. And that was not evident at the end, and it's still not evident today. And that's what really bothers me about the pay-per-view. I feel a little ripped off. I thought for being a top four pay-per-view or what's supposed to be a top four pay-per-view, you need to have a clear winner. That's my opinion.
I don't know. I think it's pretty much going to be CM Punk. You heard that CM Punk was in the Thanksgiving Day parade today, right?
Okay.
In Chicago, he was the Grand Marshal, which is, I mean, I don't know the whole thing, but it's apparently a very prestigious role to have in their Thanksgiving Day parade. And he was speaking to a television station, WGN, in Chicago, and they asked him about his upcoming match with The Rock at the Royal Rumble, and he says he's going to hurt The Rock bad and send Mr. Movie star back to Hollywood. So I think it's pretty much set in stone that we're going to see CM Punk taking on The Rock. So
I don't know. I just didn't like the ending. Now, the one thing I do like is they have introduced three men, three new characters to Monday Night Raw. That part I do like. I just wish it wasn't the main event of a pay-per-view, but I can understand the significant impact that it creates when these guys do what they did at Survivor Series. So I kind of have mixed emotions about it because I'm excited about these three, and you know their debut was significant, but I don't like the fact that there wasn't a clear winner. And for me, maybe it's just my old school thinking.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Regardless, that was Survivor Series. We had the night after, Monday Night Raw. Like I mentioned, they did introduce three new characters to Monday Night Raw, or three new wrestlers. And we're going to introduce someone on our own show tonight. This man, James...
a multi-talented man.
I was going to say he's a beast, isn't he? I'm kind of scared of this guy, actually.
He's a little intimidating, I won't lie.
We are welcoming to the show, for the first time ever, a pro wrestler, a commentator, an MMA fighter, an actor, a stuntman, and I'm pretty sure I've left a few off the list. His name is Paul Lazenby. Paul, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm awesome, man. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
No problem.
So like I mentioned, you have quite the resume. I mean, you're a man of many talents. What is it that you're up to these days? Are you doing the wrestling? Are you doing the commentating? I don't think you're actively involved with MMA. I could be wrong, but what is it that you're up to these days?
I'm still covering MMA for CFOX and for Files News Magazine. And actually, I'm co-owner of the new location of FKP MMA, Chris Franco's club.
Mm.
He's branched out from the flagship location in East Vancouver, and we're opening up a new one in Surrey on January 7th at World Gym on Scott Road. So I'm busy with that and also really doing a lot of acting and stunt work lately. I'll be appearing on a couple of upcoming episodes of Once Upon a Time. I believe they air on December 2nd and 16th. And tomorrow I actually start work on a movie called, oh man, now here's where my concussions start bugging me. something called The Secret Liaison, that's what it's called.
Okay.
I'm playing I got a supporting role as an insidious bodyguard type on that. So that's cool. I've been focusing on exclusively acting for the last couple of years. I'm still doing stunt work, but really going to a lot of acting classes at the Act Vancouver Academy with the Sabongis, and it's been working out really good. You know, I've been hauling down more and more acting work, and I'm really enjoying it.
That's excellent news. You mentioned you're an actor, but you also mentioned that you are a stuntman, and I mean, I think James and I know this, but just for the people who may have never heard of you before, you're actually a stunt double for Stone Cold Steve Austin. Is that correct?
Yeah, that actually kind of started in an unusual way. It started with him breaking my freaking nose.
Oh, wow.
We worked together on a show called Damage, and at the time a friend of mine named Kevin Rushton was doubling him. So we were working on a fight scene, and the whole day Steve had been working with a guy who was flinching away from him.
Hmm.
So Steve had to kind of lunge forward to make sure there wasn't too much air between them. And then it went from that to he's doing a fight scene with me, and you know, I try to be where I'm supposed to be, and I don't flinch away during fight scenes and stuff. And so Steve was kind of still in that mode where he had to close the distance, and he leaned in just an inch too far, and he put my left my nose under my left eye.
Oh, geez.
And yeah, it was a pretty damn good break. But he felt awful about it, but we all ended up laughing about it eventually. It actually made TMZ, man. It got quite a bit of buzz. But at the time, a couple of people were kind of looking at me, looking at Kevin, and Kevin's a hell of a stunt man, but he just isn't quite built like Steve. And they were thinking, well, why the hell isn't Lazenby doubling him? Because they match up good. So then Steve ended up coming back up here for six more movies, and my buddy Laurel Chartrand coordinated the next one, and he put me into double Steve, and we got along great. So we've been working together on and off for the past few years and become really good friends as well. So it's been a hell of a ride. It's been awesome.
It's quite the way to start a friendship, that's for sure. You must still stay in contact with Steve. Is he doing well these days?
He's doing really good. He's recovering from knee surgery right now. He's when he was taping the first season of Redneck Island that's airing on CMT down in Mexico, his knee finally gave out. I guess he punished it enough that it was ready to go. And so you got a full reconstruction, which means, and I've had that done too, and it healed. You know, those things, if you rehab them right, they heal stronger than ever. So his knee right now is almost 100%. He just finished, I think, the second season of Redneck Island, and he's doing really good. I think he's down at the Broken Skull Ranch right now in Texas, just taking care of business down there. I've been down there to visit him, and it's beautiful down there. Rough country, but a gorgeous place. And so, yeah, I'm not sure what's up next. I know he's got a couple of things, a couple of offers that he's entertaining right now. I know that he just finished signing 35,000 copies of the WWE 13 video game.
Jeez.
So that's been keeping him busy for a while. I'm sure that his right forearm is about five times the size of his left. I'm hoping to get a call soon. I'm hoping he's picking up a project that we'll end up working on together again, but he's not a guy who really lets the grass grow under his feet too much, so he'll be involved in something soon.
The rumors are out there. WrestleMania 29, do we see Stone Cold make a return?
He's not against the idea. Nothing is confirmed at this point, but he hasn't committed to anything, and he hasn't shot the idea down in flames. This is me speaking for me, not based on anything Steve may have said to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the ball's in WWE's court. I think if they were to make it, the prospect attractive enough to him. I know that Punk wants it, and I think that if he were made the right offer, I think Steve could be coerced back for another match, but that's my personal opinion. That's not Steve talking. So, yeah, only he really knows where he's at concerning that prospective match.
Of course, but we thought we'd try and get the inside scoop out of you. All right, so, Paul, you mentioned that you do commentary, you're talking MMA on CFox a lot. One thing I'm interested about tonight is that, we don't really get to hear a lot about your opinion on pro wrestling these days because you're talking MMA. So I'm hoping you're going to stick around here. We're going to talk wrestling for the next little bit. Sound good to you?
That sounds awesome. I don't get to talk wrestling nearly enough. I mean, I've been a pro wrestler a lot longer than... In fact, the reason I became a mixed martial artist is I got into it through pro wrestling. So I've been a wrestler for over 2 decades.
Yeah.
I'm always up to talk about wrestling.
Before we start it off, let me just ask you quickly, like, what is your background with professional wrestling?
Well, basically, I had an extremely early midlife crisis when I was 23. I was the assistant manager at a department store wearing a clip-on tie and hating my life. And I always loved pro wrestling, and then I was flipping through a copy of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and I saw an ad for the Hart Brothers School. I thought, damn, I'd love to go there. And two very, very good friends of mine, Carlos Leal and Crystal Vines, actually gave me the money to go, and Carlos even drove me from my home of Kitchener, Ontario, just south of Toronto, all the way to Calgary. And brought me there so I could learn. And, lucky me, Lance Storm and Chris Jericho were the instructors at the school that year. So I learned from them in 1991 and wrestled all over the world after that.
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty impressive teachers.
Better credentials than us. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, Paul, let's start talking about Monday Night Raw this week. It came from the Nutter Center in Dayton, Ohio. What a name for an arena.
The Nutter Center?
The Nutter Center. Can you believe it?
Jeez.
Now, let's just... We'll play the clip off the top. Here's what happened at the end of Monday Night Raw. I got a bit of an issue with it, and I'll get to it. But we basically saw the three men, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, and Seth Rollins, make their impact felt this past Monday on Raw.
He may have been expecting these three clowns to show up.
And Ryback trying to get to CM Punk. That's Dean Ambrose trying to hang on. And now Seth Rollins into the ring. These kids from NXT, the developmental territory, some reason they're here, and some reason they targeted Ryback. Roman Reigns takes a right hand, and this brawl continues.
Oh my God, look out.
A three-on-one assault. Trying to drag Ryback out of the ring. That pack of dogs mentality again.
They're tumbling.
No.
Watch it.
Two times.
Oh, come on. Not the second night in a row. Look at this.
No.
Oh, my God.
So there you go, James. Ryback going through the table 2 nights in a row. First at Survivor Series and then Monday Night Raw. Let me just ask you straight off the bat, James, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose making a big splash on Monday Night Raw. Your thoughts on these three men and how they've been introduced?
Oh, I love the way that these guys have been introduced. It's very, very reminiscent of the way that the whole cast of the first season of NXT was debuted back
with
in
Nexus.
Nexus, thank you, back in mid-2010. I kind of like that. It's a good wave to get some new, young, fresh talent onto the scene. And you know what? What better way to make a name for yourself than going after the biggest dog there is in Ryback, right?
And that's my next question. Is it a smart move to have these three guys go after Ryback, a guy that's got such momentum? Because there's two ways of looking at this. They could be fodder for Ryback, or they can slow Ryback's momentum down. I'm trying to figure out where the winning situation is here.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see how this progresses in the future. I really hope that they don't get booked as just, you know, meat to feed the insatiable appetite of Ryback. I really hope that we see something progress and we really see these guys start to make really start to make something of themselves. I mean, these guys definitely have the credentials. Seth Rollins, first ever NXT champion. You got Dean Ambrose, who's been unbelievable in the indie scene. He had a great feud with William Regal in NXT. And Roman Reigns, I mean, what can we say about this guy? The guy is huge. He's 6'3", 260 pounds or something like that.
He's got the ancestry as well. He's from the Noy family.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely got the pedigree. So I think we're seeing the face of the future of the WWE here.
Paul, what did you think of the end of Monday Night Raw this past Monday? Did you like what you saw with these three guys?
No, not at all. I do think that we're seeing the face of what should be the future of the WWE, but I think once again, they're doing doing it worse than they did with Nexus. Nexus, it took them a week to screw it up. I think in this case, they're putting the guys in a no-win situation. You guys already touched on it. You got these three guys that you want to debut as stars, but you got them in a position where they're either going to bleed off some of the momentum of the fastest rising guy in the company, who really should, they've already screwed up with Ryback in his booking in the last couple months. So they're either going to slow his momentum down further, or they're going to end up being chumps for Ryback, in which case their legs are cut out from underneath them just as they're getting started. Mm-hmm. It just there is no positive spin on this. It's a bad position to put them in. If you were to have them in some kind of Nexus kind of group where they were assaulting multiple people, then you would have more possibilities. But putting them into direct confrontation with Ryback consistently is either going to hurt Ryback, hurt them, or both.
Let's talk about Nexus, because this is very similar to Nexus. What didn't you like about the way Nexus debuted?
I love the way they debuted.
Yes.
It just took WWE about 7 days to make them look like complete chumps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody was talking about it. It was shocking. It got everybody excited about wrestling.
Yeah, it was huge
again
at the time.
And it took precisely 7 days. With Nexus and with the whole CM Punk angle where he was leaving the company, it took WWE exactly 7 days to screw up something that should have been resulting in big houses for them and sustained interest for a year. I mean, Nexus, you could have run with that for a year and had them wolf-packing everybody and running riot over the WWE. And instead, there was a very emphatic statement made that no matter how exciting a new guy can be, the established guys will be put over in a way that makes you look like crap. You cannot beat the upper tier guys under any circumstances whatsoever, and that is why the product is stale. This is how WWE suffers for not having viable competition, because they've got nobody breathing down their neck and keeping them honest and forcing them to make the right decisions. Instead, they book according to the egos of the people up top, or maybe just their own misguided philosophy of thinking that the top-tier guys can never, ever be made to look bad.
Here's my issue with what I saw on Monday. Well, and it starts with a question. Why am I ordering Survivor Series when the exact same thing happens the next night?
Thank you.
Like, in my opinion, I tuned into Monday Night Raw wanting to see an explanation as to why the main event got spoiled the night before at Survivor Series. And instead, and James, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure I called it earlier in the night, I said to James,
"Yeah, you did.
We're going to see the exact same thing before we see an explanation. So explain to me, why would I spend $50 on a pay-per-view when the exact, literally the exact same thing happened the next night?"
Yeah, pay-per-views are supposed to give you payoffs.
Exactly.
They're supposed to wrap things up for you. And I still remember watching WWE 1 when I was a kid, well, a teenager. And there was one match on that I can remember. Was Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda against Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov, and that was one match that led to something else. But everything else I could think of was either just a filler match or a payoff. And it was, now you've got so many pay-per-views that they're just in, pay-per-views now are usually just another episode of Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
Take a look at Ryback. I mean, I honestly think they, with the way they were building him, I don't think it would have hurt Punk at all to lose the title clean to Ryback instead of having all that Brad Maddox stuff that did nothing but muddy the waters and slow down the momentum, and I think it was a very bad idea. But barring that, they didn't have Ryback win the title, so okay, now you've taken some of the wind out of his sails. You still want to try to preserve what you can. Now he gets punked twice by the same guys in exactly the same way on consecutive nights. What kind of an idiot does this guy look like? He's been destroying everybody in the company. Everybody who's supposed to be scared of this guy is a Sherman tank and a pit bull put together that nobody can stand before this guy. He's so scary, but these three dudes can chump him twice the same way, and he doesn't see it coming. Now he just looks like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
What's your take on Ryback in general? I mean, aside from that, do you like what they've done with Ryback, or are you not a fan?
I think they've done a great deal with him up until screwing up the booking with, I think, not putting the title on him at the right time. They built him right. Now, with what he's got, with what he brings to the table, they built him perfectly. And I was cringing from day one because they were doing everything right, and I was just waiting for them to screw it up because they always do. But in the early going, yes, they built him right. And, yeah, there are the inevitable Goldberg comparisons, but there are only so many ways to build guys, and they built him in a way that was very appropriate for him. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to keep him with guys who can bring him along. He's not ready to main event all by himself and carry the heavy load, but he is a guy that you can put on top. He is a very credible guy as a monster.
Yes.
But they've already short-circuited the guy. They've already screwed up. So I like the way he was built. I knew this was coming. I would have loved to be wrong, but now they're already hurting the character. They're already fixing it so that he will not be a guy that they can rely on to main event pay-per-views and draw money.
I got a question for you here, Paul. How would you have booked the ending to the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view?
I would have had Ryback winning absolutely clean. I would have had him take the belt off Punk. And that's something that people wouldn't have expected. That would have elevated Ryback to the point that, see, people are so used to stop and start pushes that when you see a guy really starting to get momentum, you're just waiting. You're waiting, going, okay, then he's going to lose and he's going to go back down the ladder again because everybody's allowed to ascend so far and then they hit that level and they drop back down again. Look at Daniel Bryan with his 18 seconds at WrestleMania, which backfired and ended up making him more popular, but WWE didn't intend it that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff like that.
Or so Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, I mean, that is the most wasted guy in that company. That guy is the new Kurt Hennig. And they just will not push him to the extent that he deserves. But with Ryback, there was no reason not to put the belt on him. I think that now that he's not as marketable as he used to be, yes, now you want to keep the belt on Punk and extend his reign. But Punk would not have been hurt one iota by losing the title clean, and it would have elevated another guy to the point that fans would have been going, oh, who's this guy, and putting their money down to see him.
What about the idea, though, that you need to keep the title on Punk because you have The Rock waiting in the wind? Do you really want to possibly sabotage a Rock-Punk matchup when CM Punk loses to Ryback earlier in the year? Is that really, I'm thinking that they kept that in mind leading into Hell in a Cell and Survivor Series.
That's overrating the value of the title. You know, back in the old days when the title actually meant something, even in mid-2000s ROH, you know, when you've got a title that really, really means something, then yeah. But title switches happen all the time in WWE. The title doesn't mean as much as the personalities in the ring now. So you could easily build Punk versus Rock without the title being an element of that feud. And it wouldn't have made a damn bit of difference. But at the same time, that title would have been worth something in the sense that it would have helped Ryback to get over.
Mm-hmm. It does seem that no matter how much momentum you have, they find a way to curb it, don't they?
Well, this is why I always disagreed, too, with The Rock just coming back on the 1,000th episode of Raw and declaring that he has a title match at the Royal Rumble. Because now everything is worked around that announcement, right?
Well, and to me, that raises the question, why has nothing official been said by the WWE? At no point has the WWE admitted it's going to be The Rock versus someone at Royal Rumble yet. This has all been hearsay.
This is something that has really gotten to me. Wrestling relies on the suspension of disbelief, and even ROH has fallen into this trap lately. You have to at least pretend that you are running a sporting organization, which means that everybody's answerable to the chairman. You have a sanctioning committee.
Oh, we've talked about this lots.
People have to appeal to the committee and earn their titles. And in WWE, every freaking week, you've got wrestlers that just go, hey, you and me in the ring right now. And the match happens.
I know.
They haven't had it sanctioned by anybody, overseen by anybody. People just walk in and say, I'm due for a title shot. And they get it. You get a different authority figure every week, and that whole general manager, executive, general assistant crap, nobody cares about that crap
anymore.
No, they
don't.
You need one Jack Tunney type who's just signing off on stuff and making announcements about what matches have been made, but you have to have that aura of the wrestlers are answerable to the board of directors, and everything has to be run through them, and there is a process that you have to go through to get a title shot. Just like in UFC, you don't see a guy walking into the octagon and going, hey, you know, Dos Santos, you know, it's my time now. Yeah, I'm going to fight you. And Dana White's got nothing to say about it, and they have the fight.
There's a word that we like to use on this show called Smack Talk Radio Live, and it's a word that the WWE seems to ignore, and that's called logic.
Yes.
That's thrown right out the window.
Bone. Let me suspend my disbelief.
Exactly.
You know, things make sense, I'll go along for the ride. I'll play along, guys, but it just you make it impossible for me to follow along.
Yep.
You're insulting me. You're treating me like I'm an idiot. So
you're right. I agree with you. It's very hard to invest in.
This guy sounds like me, doesn't he? I'm just a hell of a lot nicer because I have a relationship with the WWE. But believe me, I want to be saying what you're saying. All right, let me ask you about this. Getting back to Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and Dean Ambrose, you know, we talked about their debut. James likes it. We don't like it, Paul. Let me ask you this first, James. What would you do from here on out? What's in store for these guys if you were booking the future?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you would ally them with CM Punk and Paul Heyman maybe and get them a little bit of a shine that way, and then that way they're...
Do you think that's the direction they're heading?
It could be possible, but maybe they're doing it for their own purposes. I honestly can't tell you. I don't know what I'd do.
Because Paul Heyman and CM Punk are playing dumb at this point, right? They're acting like they don't know what's going on, but really all signs are pointing to Paul Heyman being the mastermind behind this.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, one other thing is, if you attach them to two guys who are already massively over, they are always going to be the edge heads.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be lost in the shadow of CM Punk. I mean, good God, the charisma, the combined charisma between CM Punk and Paul Heyman would eclipse damn near anybody. And so three guys who are brand new in front of the audience, unknown to the audience, and trying to make a name for themselves, being attached to those guys would be a monumental mistake. And that's why Nexus initially got me excited. Because they weren't in anybody's shadow. They were under Wade Barrett, who's a new guy, too. And this is a bunch of new guys who have said, screw the establishment, screw all you guys, we're taking over. That was exciting for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, if you put those guys, if you ally them with Punk and with Paul Heyman, they're going to get lost in those guys' shadow. And then the creative guys and Vince McMahon and Triple H are going to go, oh, well, see, those guys can't draw money. We gave them a shot. They didn't capitalize on it. So, you know, back down the card with them.
Again,
you've wasted three more talents.
You could argue that being allied with Punk and Heyman would give the necessary exposure to make these guys household names.
You could argue that, but I don't see it. I don't see where they fit into the storyline of CM Punk. And I think it's shoehorning them in to attach mm-hmm. them to those guys at all. There are other ways to expose those guys under different circumstances. If Punk and Heyman weren't together, and you know what? As awesome as they are together right now, I think it was a mistake to turn Punk when they did. You're still getting CM Punk chance right now. People didn't want to boo him.
Yeah.
He's so awesome that he has got people booing him to an extent, but people still want to like him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love the CM Punk, Paul Heyman dynamic, but it wasn't necessary. You could have used Heyman to get those three guys over as his stable.
That's and a good,
had
good
Punk
idea.
Doing his own thing.
So you're a fan of keeping these three guys separate from Punk and Heyman and letting them do their own thing, hopefully not meet, I guess you could say, for Ryback. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, let me just quickly run down a little background check on these guys because a lot of people don't even know who they are. Seth Rollins, he was the first ever NXT champion. He wrestled previously under the name Tyler Black in FCW and sporadically on WWE TV. He is the first ever FCW Grand Slam champion, and he also previously wrestled for Ring of Honor. He's a former champion there. In terms of Dean Ambrose, he feuded with William Regal in NXT. He had a famous Twitter war with Mick Foley.
I remember that, yes.
And he won the title in promotions such as Combat Zone Wrestling and Insanity Pro Wrestling. He's known to be a bit unpredictable, out of control, and crazy. Now, in terms of Roman Reigns, James had mentioned this before. He's 6'3", 265 pounds. He's a very big boy.
This is the guy I'm going to be watching the closest.
And you know what's interesting is that apparently Triple H has mentioned that Roman Reigns is the next Triple H.
Isn't that a bit of a Isn't that a bit of an ego to call somebody like I don't know.
That's like on Ring of Honor, they're calling Adam Cole. They're calling him the new Matt Hardy. Why don't we just shoot him in the head? You know, come on. What, you put a millstone around a guy's neck. I don't want to see another Triple H. Triple H works his ass off. He's got a great look. He works hard in the ring. He's a good all-around wrestler. And I don't have any interest in most of his matches. Because I totally disagree with that. Yeah, you disagree.
I disagree, yeah. To me, yeah,
I just...
Sorry,
go ahead.
I was going to say, with Triple H, and you know, it's getting off topic, but with Triple H, Triple H brings a level of believability to professional wrestling that I can't find in other wrestlers. When Triple H is in a heated rivalry and he is as serious can get, I am buying that wrestling is real. And I can't find that in a lot of other wrestlers in WWE.
Except for the fact that he is never at a disadvantage.
Well, that's
He's
true.
He's always the guy who's got one up on the other person. He's always one step ahead. Mm-hmm. He's always beating the crap out of three or four guys at one time. It's elite level, upper tier guy to even challenge this dude.
Yeah, he's always put himself on the pedestal for sure. He's always put himself on the pedestal for sure.
And he's always like to...
Yeah, and it's... I want to see a guy get beaten down. I mean, it's... look way back in cinematic history at Die Hard. Why did Bruce Willis become a massive star off of Die Hard? Because he got his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Everybody can identify with getting your ass kicked. Why did Sylvester Stallone become a star in Rocky? Same reason. Somebody who gets beaten down and either finds redemption in defeat or finds a way to win against the odds. And Triple H is always ahead of the game. Even when I hated seeing his old dynamic with CM Punk, because he was always reminding him, I'm the boss, I'm the number one guy, I'm on top of you. Because CM Punk was getting over too much, and we can't have that.
He single-handedly killed his momentum.
Yeah. It did. And Triple H is insanely talented. If there wasn't so much ego involved with his angles and his storylines, I would probably be a big Triple H fan. I honestly don't think he's got that it factor that a Ric Flair does or somebody like that. But he is a guy who will sacrifice everything to put on the best possible match. I'll give him that. He works his ass off. He's talented. I'm just sick and tired of Triple H being the be-all and end-all, and there's only like one or two guys that can even put a bruise on him. It's boring.
If Triple H did say this about Roman Reigns, I'm a little interested to know what the comparison is, right, between Triple H and Roman Reigns. Because I'm assuming possibly the winning record that Roman Reigns is going to have down the road.
Like, I don't know.
I'm really not quite sure.
But you can't guarantee that because, you know, I haven't seen enough out of Roman Reigns right now. Yeah, I mean, he's okay in the ring. His promos suck, but that's because they write him garbage right now.
Who knows? He could be Nathan Jones. Yeah, he could be the next Nathan Jones, man.
One thing I will say about Roman Reigns, and he has this going, he comes from the famous Inouye family. He's related to The Rock, Rikishi, Yokozuna, Umaga.
Well, you don't have to say who he's related to, because every Samoan in the wrestling business is a cousin of every other Samoan in the wrestling business. Every time I've brought up one Samoan to another Samoan, they're, hey, that's my cousin. Yeah, I'm not even going to bother asking anymore.
But in this situation, it works to his advantage, and I will give him this. He has the physical frame to be impressive. So
He looks awesome.
Yeah. And so these three guys, I actually am quite interested to see where they go from here. I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say it's going to be a disappointing outcome in the end, because the WWE won't know how to handle this from here on out.
That's not going out on a ledge. That's
you're just stating fact.
That's betting with the odds, dude.
I know. Regardless, interesting debut for these three. At least we got three fresh new faces on Monday Night Raw. That's something I am happy about.
So what do you think we're going to see the payoff be for this whole eventual beat, you know, double beat down on Ryback? Are we going to see a handicap tables match at TLC or what?
I think it's possible we could see all three guys take on Ryback at TLC, and all three guys are going to lay down and Ryback's going to run through them. That's the way I see this going.
Really?
Yeah. Because Ryback has now been slowed down two pay-per-views in a row. Vince McMahon absolutely loves Ryback. I can't see these three guys stopping Ryback even more, like, you know, slowing him down even more. So I think ultimately these guys made an impressive debut. They've made names for themselves, but come the pay-per-view, they're going to fall victim to Ryback, and then it's right down to the mid-card level for them.
Oh, I really hope that doesn't happen.
Do you really think that's not going to happen, though?
No, I do think that's going to happen, but I just hope it doesn't. I have hope.
All right.
Hope and knowledge are two different things.
Okay.
I've got hope I'm going to win the lottery, too.
Yeah. There you go. Exactly.
Equal chance of getting what we want.
All right. We got to move on here. The hot topic. The topic that James has been waiting to talk about all week.
I'm just going to take a bathroom break right now.
John Cena, AJ, Vicky Guerrero. The saga continued this past Monday on Raw. It just got insane. Here's what happened this past Monday night on Raw.
All this. Garbage. A load of crap. Why? Because you're trying to give people something to talk about. I'll show you how you give people something to talk about. AJ, I hope you don't mind. You see, Vicky, that right there is... Oh!
She's playing tonsil hockey. Look out! Yeah.
And so there you have it. John Cena and AJ pulling a bit of a Edge and Lita in the middle of the ring.
Oh, I wouldn't
Not
go that.
Quite.
I wouldn't go that far. There's no nipple shot.
But John Cena and AJ just going at it in the middle of the ring... Paul, I'm going to start with you. What did you think when you saw that?
I really couldn't be less interested in the whole angle, to be honest. The one thing that gets me is I'm pissed off because they worked me. I actually thought that the seam and knee injury was legit. If you really listen, you can hear kind of something that could be a snapping noise the first time his left foot hits the ground when he gets out of the ring. And so I thought it was legit. And that's about the only thing that stands out in this for me. This and the fact that the whole thing was such a glorious failure. All the performances. I mean, these people aren't trained actors, and they're not really being given a gold storyline to work with. But AJ and Ziggler actually both stood out to me in that they at least delivered believable performances. Mm-hmm. AJ's acting skills and Ziggler's acting skills are actually quite good. And so that was another thing that stood out to me, just because I hate the storyline so much that anybody that can bring a shred of believability to it is going to stand out for me.
Well, James is actually saying that this quite possibly could be the worst storyline of 2012. Is that right, James?
Oh, pretty close. It's either this one or the one that we had at the beginning of the year with Cena, Kane, and Eve, and Zack Ryder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But
I think this is worse than the Ryder one, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious here that John Cena got involved with Vicky Guerrero and AJ to keep him out of the ring while he nursed his injury. But
to keep him on a prominent position on the show as well.
To keep him on TV.
Yeah.
But the problem I have with
this... What's the deal with that knee injury anyway? Is that legit or not? Because I'm hearing both things.
Well, no, it's he actually worked a match for main event the next night.
No, I don't think it's legit.
So it's not legit.
Oh, okay.
But
don't quote
me on it, though.
Yeah. The problem I had with what I saw Monday Night Raw in terms of the actual him hurting his knee was I actually thought it was his ankle at first.
Yeah, it looked like he rolled his foot.
It looked like he rolled his ankle and it wasn't his knee. Now, that was just something that I had picked up on. And then I had argued with James that I think they actually probably pre-taped that segment in the locker room where him and Dolph Ziggler went through the bathroom stall there. And, you know, what was live looked like an ankle injury, but because they had pre-taped all that stuff, they had to go with the knee. But that was just my opinion. I didn't think his knee looked hurt there. I thought it was his ankle. That's beside the point. One thing I did like, though, was Dolph Ziggler and AJ in backstage talking to each
Jesus.
Other afterwards.
He cut probably one of the best promos of the year right there.
That was excellent.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler was excellent there.
Like I said, that stood out to me. I mean, they both did a great job on that segment. Mm-hmm. And again, more evidence that they're just wasting Ziggler.
Big time. We've talked about it so many times.
Yeah. But here's my problem with what we saw on Monday. For the last, month, I guess, you've had John Cena and AJ denying this relationship. In fact, AJ got taken out of the general manager role because of possible fraternizing with John Cena. So we're led to believe that this is against the rules. You're not allowed to do this. John Cena and AJ, they need to deny what's ever happened because they don't want to get in trouble. And so what happens? They come out into the middle of the ring and they make it public. And are we going to see any repercussions for this from what we saw? Probably not.
There's that.
Well, what about Edge and Vicky Guerrero? What about Dolph and Vicky Guerrero?
Exactly.
Romantically involved. Again, throw me a bone. Let me suspend my disbelief. Make this make sense for me.
It's that logic word that we keep bringing up again and again, you know?
Now, there is one advantage, in my opinion, to the Cena, AJ, Vicky triangle, and that's Dolph Ziggler. He is going to get a push here. He possibly, and it looks like, he's going to be facing John Cena at TLC. I hope that happens, and that would be the shiny moment to come out of all of this, if anything.
And so what? So Cena just smashes him then at TLC, and his push is stopped yet again?
Well, that's the thing, right? You don't know.
No, I do agree with you. I think the whole the best thing that's going to come out of this whole garbage storyline is a match between Ziggler and Cena. Mm-hmm. But after that, what are you going to do? Are you going to put Ziggler over Cena and maybe put him up? Or are you just going to?
I would, but that's just.
Are you just going to hold him down again and have Cena beat him?
I know.
I think it's going to be the latter, personally.
I really don't have anything else to say about this. Should we move on?
Let's just hope that they finish this once and for all.
All right. Let's move on.
Yeah.
There is one bright spot of Monday Night Raw I did want to touch on quickly, and that is the primetime players.
Titus O'Neil. Man, who knew this guy had such a personality?
A breakthrough moment for this tag team on Monday Night Raw. Let's just quickly listen to what happened when Titus O'Neil and Darren Young were sitting at commentary with Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole.
You gotta realize, if your hair's nappy, one's happy.
Nobody.
And D Young is very happy.
You don't have to worry about that, Titus.
Oh, I definitely. You ain't gonna have to worry about it too much longer.
No, I like your look.
You need to go get some Just for Men or something from the side of the sideburns.
Titus, you comb your hair with a wash rag, don't you? What? He combs his hair with a wash rag.
That's a penalty on you, Jerry the King Lawler. Keep it up. Keep it right on up. Jerry, did you take your heart medication before you came out here?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out.
Y'all want you falling over while I'm out here. I'll tell you that right now. I ain't doing no CPR, nothing else.
Well, he fell over during your match.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
Exactly.
Hey, Titus, I'm trying to find out what a wash rag is.
A washcloth. They call it a wash rag down in Memphis.
And look at Daniel Bryan. He is making Sin Cara suffer here.
Wash rag.
How good is that, James?
Oh, my God. Put Titus O'Neil on the commentating table, man.
To me, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up, that is a breakthrough moment for this tag team. What they did at the commentator's table has got to turn some heads and realize that these guys actually have some talent on the mic.
Oh, big time.
Paul, did you hear what they were like on commentary?
Actually, you know what, man? That's one segment that I missed. I was... I watch Raw and fast forward. I tend to zap past this stuff. It doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of choked that I zapped over the primetime players because I really don't care about them. And this was the one week that I really should have.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. As a professional wrestler, how much of a risk is it, especially in the WWE, to stray away from the norm and to really do something out of the ordinary, something that may get you in trouble or, you know, push you into the spotlight? Like, you're taking quite the big risk there. Is that something that you recommend for wrestlers to do?
Only if you... Well, it's a calculated risk.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through the same thing when I've been working on certain shows, and you'll see somewhere where you need to add one or two lines to a scene, or you have a script is lacking something. You really do run the risk of offending the writer and the director if you add something, but if it really works, you might want to throw it in. And I've had a positive response to doing that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in this case, it obviously paid off. And it's a case where these guys got to know. They're given a gimmick that really wasn't going to take them very far. They had a very, very short window of exposure before they had to do something. It's kind of like Santino Marella way back in the day. I mean, he was going to be gone. And then he found a way to connect during that brief window of opportunity. And that's what Titus O'Neil, he capitalized on his opportunity, and he went for broke, and it paid off.
Let me ask you this. Tag team division has been very prominent in the last little while. Are you a fan of seeing this division come back and
be revitalized?
Be revitalized? Do you like what you're seeing in that?
I love tag team wrestling. I love properly done tag team wrestling. In fact, my great wish would be to see the tag team division established to the extent that it was way back in the day when the Survivor Series had 10-man tags.
Yeah.
And have Chris Hero reunited with Antonio Cesaro. Mm-hmm. I guess it's Cassius Ohno now. I'd love to see those guys back together as a tag team. They're fantastic. But, yeah, I if it's done right. But, again, that is a very, very, very big if, because WWE finds a way to hamstring stuff more often than they find a way to execute it properly. And when stuff is executed properly, it usually is by accident.
I would agree with that statement. That's
for sure. All right. You got anything else, James?
No, that's pretty much everything that happened on Monday Night Raw. It was a very match-heavy Monday Night Raw. Not a lot of storyline progression.
I'm kind
of
wishing we brought Paul on the show when it was a Monday Night Raw worth talking about.
Well, feel free to have me back. I love talking.
Well, so do we. We need to do this again for sure.
Yes.
Like I said, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Next time, hopefully, we have more to talk about for sure.
Oh, no problem, man. And yeah, dude, I'm more than happy to come on. I appreciate the invitation.
Just before we let you go, how can people follow along with what you're doing these days?
Well, I'm on Facebook under my name. I'm on Twitter at MaulerMMA. I put stuff up semi-regularly on paullazenby.com. You can also contact me through fkpmma.com. That is the premier mixed martial arts school in Vancouver, in the BC Lower Mainland. And I think that's about it.
All right. If you can't figure out how to get a hold of him through one of those methods, then don't bother contacting
you. Something
anyways.
Wrong with you.
All right, Paul, we got to let you go here. We got to start talking about local wrestling, something we know you love very much.
Oh, my God, man. Yeah, you know what, man? You guys probably picked the right segment to leave me off of, because
it's a conversation for another
time. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to. I don't envy you guys trying to have something worthwhile to say about Scotty Mark and how he's continuing to bury ECCW.
All right, Paul, you're going to get in trouble.
Good mud slung, man. Call me up and ask me about that freaking guy and how badly he's been. Anyway, hats off to Kyle O'Reilly and the Bollywood Boys for finding a way to make something of themselves in spite of wrestling in that quagmire.
There you go. We'll have you back on very soon. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thanks, Paul, buddy.
All right, man. You guys take care.
You too. There you go, James. Paul Lazenby.
What a smart guy, man.
That guy is very intelligent.
You know what? I am actually really looking forward to the next time we have him on the show talking about just wrestling in general.
I think we made a bit of a mistake. We brought him on a week that it was a terrible Monday Night Raw. And, you know, it's good to have him heated like that. But I just feel like the topics of discussion this week weren't that great. Would you agree?
I 100% agree.
All right. Well, maybe they're a little better talking locally. Let's get into it, James. The local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, Corey, let's kick off the local wrestling scene. We just had a great conversation with Paul in our Tale of the Tape.
Thank you to Paul, by the way.
Now let's switch gears and talk about just what's going on this weekend in and around town with professional wrestling, starting with ASW. Big show tomorrow night.
Yes, the Adam Firestorm Memorial Rumble. That's happening out in Maple Ridge at the Ridge Meadows Senior Center.
What a name for a venue, eh? Like, isn't that just where you want to go to watch a wrestling show, is at a senior center?
Absolutely. Especially tomorrow night. But you know, James, all joking aside, this is a very serious event for the local wrestling community. Adam Firestorm, a beloved member of the wrestling community in Vancouver, once upon a time, he has passed away, but this show is going on in his memory. And it's one of the big highlights of the event is
the Rumble match itself.
That's right, the Adam Firestorm Memorial Rumble. And the winner of the Rumble will actually be the holder of the Adam Firestorm Memorial Belt for the entire next year.
Oh, so who won last year? I think it was Disco Fury won last year, right?
Disco Fury won last year.
Why am I asking why I knew that?
Strife won the year before. Now, James, before we actually get into the show and just what it's all about, I did have an opportunity to speak with Disco Fury, Nathan Burke, earlier today, just asking him, you know, what is this show all about? And just who exactly was Adam Firestorm from the people who may never have heard of him before?
Adam Firestorm was a ring general. He was a leader. He wasn't a follower. If he saw something, he would do it. He would make it happen. He would take you along and make sure that you understood when you get in the ring, you know how to take care of yourself and look really good. He was a brother. He was a mentor. And he's really missed. So this Rumble every year is it's a signal, a sign of all the brothers and sisters getting together in one ring, no politics, laying it all on the line in the honor of Adam Firestone. And all this money goes to his son, Thomas. And Adam's watching. He's watching right now as we're all prepping for this.
And here's the beautiful thing about the Adam Firestone Memorial Rumble event. ECCW and ASW come together for this show, and I don't think they have any problems booking talent because everyone wants to be involved.
Everyone wants. Anybody who's anybody in the professional wrestling scene here in Vancouver is a part of this show. So definitely recommend going and seeing this tomorrow night.
And like Disco said, all proceeds do go to Adam Firestorm's son.
So it's a very good cause.
Absolutely. Now, some of the entrants in the Rumble is last year's champion, Disco Fury. You got El Phantasmo. You're going to have Gorgeous Michelle Starr. You got Tony Brony. You got Artemis Spencer, Matt Ecstatic, Azeem the Dream, Mr. India, your favorite, Toga Boy.
Hey.
You're gonna have the great Kisaki. You got Danny Deeds, Ray Brooke, Moondog Manson, Cole Bishop, Ravenous Randy Myers. The list goes on.
All the big names in Vancouver.
25 guys in total, all competing for the Adam Firestone Memorial Belt. And let me just say, James, the best looking belt in the Pacific Northwest, I will admit.
It's an impressive looking one. I'll give you that.
Definitely. We're also going to have an ASW Cruiserweight Triple Threat match that will include guys that were also in the Rumble: Disco Fury, The Great Kisaki, and Matt Ecstatic. Anytime Matt Ecstatic's in the ring, I'm a fan.
Fast rising star.
ASW tag team titles are also on the lines with the Breakers, who are the current champions. They're taking on Artemis Spencer and Tony Brony. You're also going to have Ravenous Randy Myers taking on Nasty Nate Daniels. And the Wolf Knives versus Mantasia and Hellion. That should be interesting as well. Now, another match we also have on this show is the CNWA women's title match. Raven Lake, who is the champion, taking on Sammy Hall. That should be very interesting.
A big week for Sammy Hall, too.
Very interesting week, actually, for, I believe it's Bambi Hall, but ASW is calling her Sammy Hall.
Okay.
I'm a little confused as to that. But regardless, Bambi Hall, it's a very big week for Bambi Hall, because I don't know if you heard, but Bambi Hall has been nominated for Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Rookie of the Year.
Huge honor.
Now, we had a chance to talk with Vance Nevada earlier today. What exactly is this all about? What's the big news? Here's what Vance had to say.
Well, you know, it's very exciting because for the first time in 24 years, a Canadian independent is actually on the ballot for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Year-End Awards. The last time someone was on the ballot was, again, in the Rookie of the Year category, was Chris Benoit for Stampede Wrestling in 1988. The last time the last and only time that a Canadian independent won was Owen Hart in 1987 as Rookie of the Year. So it's been 25 years since a Canadian has been recognized by Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine. We haven't even been able to get any independents on the ballot in the last several years. So to see Bambi listed in the magazine that's on sale now is a pretty big deal.
And you know yourself, James, Pro Wrestling Illustrated is it is the magazine of wrestling these days.
It's either that or the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Those are the two big ones.
So if you're mentioned, you're doing something right. Now, that is huge news on the Canadian wrestling scene. Bambi Hall being nominated for Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Rookie of the Year. It's pretty crazy that we have someone from Canada nominated for this award. Considering the amount of rookies there must be out there in North America, we asked Vance just how Bambi Hall has progressed from her first match until now and why she's so deserving of this award.
You know, it's been a very exciting development to watch. I mean, certainly, being in Vancouver for the last several years, you know, I got to meet Bambi before she got into the business, you know, when she would come down to the matches, with her family, and you know, had a direct conversation with her before she got into wrestling to find out, you know, why do you want to do this? And, it's a tough business. And, you know, these are the types of things that you could run into. And I think, you know, she's been put in front of some very big challenges, you know, 2 months into her career to be thrown into a reality TV situation, working alongside Roddy Piper and being, you know, the greenest and most inexperienced wrestler on the show, and held up very, very well. You know, she didn't break down and lose her mind like we saw some of the wrestlers do on the program. And then just to watch her attack you know, her career with such aggression, you know, where she's, you know, done the Tony Candelo Northern Death Tour, which, you know, has been survived by people like Edge and Christian and Rhino and Scott Norton, you know, and the list goes on and on and on, you know, with that. But, you know, you've just never seen any stops. So in less than 18 months since she debuted, she's already had more than 60 matches, which is an incredible schedule. You know, considering that most independents, if they're really aggressive, might get 24 matches a year. It's really outstanding to watch and really, really cool to watch her develop.
If there's a lesson to be learned here from Vance Nevada, it's that you need to work as much as possible when you are early in your wrestling career. The more matches you can get under your belt, the better. Would you agree?
Absolutely. That's what you got to strive for.
Now, Bambi Hall, nominated for the award. She does need help from her fans, and she needs the support. So we also asked Vance before we let him go, just how can people help Bambi follow through with the nomination and win the award?
Well, you know, the great thing about Pro Wrestling Illustrated is that the vote is 100% legitimate. So it's all about fans submitting their award. The key criteria, though, is that when you do vote, that you don't just vote for that category, that you put in your selections for each of the 10 categories. So there's a category for Wrestler of the Year. There's a category for Tag Team of the Year, Most Improved Wrestler, Woman of the Year, Most Popular, Most Hated, Inspirational Wrestler of the Year, Match of the Year, Feud of the Year, and, of course, Rookie of the Year. So we've posted the ballot categories on the CNWA Facebook group to let everybody know you know what the categories are and encourage them to vote, and they can submit their votes by email to pwiawards@yahoo.com.
So there you go, James. Big news on the Canadian wrestling scene.
Well, I got to get on there and vote for her, I guess.
Thank you very much to Vance Nevada for, you know, coming on the show and talking about Bambi Hall. And I got to say, if Bambi Hall pulls off the victory and wins the Rookie of the Year award, without question, we will get her on the show and definitely discuss the big win. It's huge for her. I mean, this could be career moving.
Oh, definitely career changing. And also another big thank you to Disco Fury for coming on the show and just touching on just what the whole Adam Firestorm Memorial Show is all about.
It's a very important event, and I encourage every wrestling fan in the Pacific Northwest, you know, the Vancouver area specifically, to get out there, support the cause, check it out. Now, James, I wanted to ask you before you go. You had 2010 winner Strife win the Adam Firestorm Memorial Belt. Last year, Disco Fury took the victory in 2011. I'm going to ask you for your prediction. Who takes this year's Adam Firestorm Memorial Rumble?
Do I go out on a limb here and say Toga Boy?
Is that really who you think?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't. I really don't know. Maybe I'll say Artemis Spencer.
I'm going to go with Moondog Manson.
Moondog Manson, eh?
I hope I'm right, so I can shove it down your throat.
I know you will on the show.
All right. That's happening at the Ridge Meadows Senior Center tomorrow night, Friday, 8 o'clock. Check out their Facebook page for all the details. Definitely want to check it out. And that'll about do it for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live this week, James.
Another good one, as always.
Really? I thought I was excellent. I thought Paul Lazenby was excellent. I thought Disco Fury was excellent. I thought Vance Nevada was excellent. And I thought you were average.
But you know what? No one gives a damn what you think, so...
Oh, see, you're coming back. You're starting to come back with some
stuff. No one cares about you, Corey.
Nice, nice. See, this is what I've been waiting for the last 2 years.
Well, I'm supposed to be the face here.
That's right. You do a pretty good job of it.
All right.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and we're on Twitter at SRL Radio. We're also in the iTunes store. Look us up, send us some feedback, and help us climb the charts so other people can find us in the iTunes store. And there's also one other thing that people should do, isn't that right, James?
It's called our email, onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. Send us your thoughts, send us your opinions. Did you think Raw was as not exciting as we did this week? Well, tell us about it, and there might be some cool stuff heading your way.
That'll do it for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. We'll be back next week. And don't forget, the iPhone app's in development as well.
I'm excited for that, for sure.
I'm going to make sure that when you download it, the app
costs...
It's
not going to work.
Well, I'm going to make sure the app costs like a good $40.
Sweet.
And then I'll bring it back down to nothing.
You just got to love hosing your co-host. It's awesome.
That's what this show's all about for me. It's not about wrestling. It's about...
It's just about making me look as bad as possible. Right on.
I'm just joking. This show's nothing without you, buddy.
All right, so that's another week.
All right, man. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I'm James McDonald.
And we'll see you next Thursday.
Thanks for listening.